Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to today's episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Today, our guest is Debrica of Agape Career Counseling Group, and she is going to be speaking to the audience today about career counseling. So, how to increase your interviewing skills, how to get the raise you want, how to have the career that you want. We are going to be talking about how to increase yourself and achieve the goals that you have in your chosen field. So, Debrica, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you start just by telling the audience about you, how you kind of ended up starting your business, and how you kind of knew this was something that you were passionate about doing?
I knew that I was passionate about helping people in the employment area early on in life. I've always been the one to look at someone's resume. You should say this, you should say that. But immediately after college, I went into my management career. And so I went into retail management, and I was always the one that ended up doing the interviews. And so what I would find is your resume looked perfect, and then you came in and contradicted everything you told me on paper. And so the one thing that I teach my clients is that if this is what you sound like on paper, this is what you need to represent. It does not need to be cognitive dissonance between the two. And so me having all those years of management, I'm able to help them in their interview process to understand if you wear this, if you say this, if you answer it this way, this is what they're going to think, because that's what I thought. And, you know, being in management, you talk to other managers and you kind of almost are on the same page. And so I started my company because I wanted to be able to help people in the interview process, along with the creativity that you get from being an entrepreneur. So it was just a really good fit for me. I loved being a servant heart, you know, helping others. And you spend 40 hours a week at work. So you kind of live there and you want to like the place where you live. So you need to have a career where you enjoy yourself.
What are some tips you give to people who are in their job and they just don't feel like it's a good fit, or they're not sure if they majored in the right thing in college? I know you really push people into being able to have a career that they love. What are some things people should look for to know I'm on the right path, or maybe it's just this job or this company? What are some things people can kind of do with themselves, or questions they can ask to see if they are on the right career path?
The first thing I would tell any and everyone is to take a personality assessment that links you to a career. What a lot of people don't understand is personalities are directly related to the things that you enjoy doing. So if I'm an introvert and I don't really want to talk to people, I shouldn't be in sales, because I don't really want to talk to people. And so a lot of people fall into a job because you knew someone that could give you the hookup, or you knew someone that needed an employee and you needed a job, so you just did it. But you really don't like what you do. So if you take an assessment, and there's tons of them out there, they're going to give you suggestions of what type of personality you have. And then that should link directly into careers. If you have a certain personality, let's say you're an extrovert, then you'd probably work well in a sales environment, maybe a call center, maybe going door to door, doing, you know, be business to business. But if that's not your thing, if that's not who you are as a person, you definitely don't want to be in that industry, because work is going to be very cumbersome for you. It's going to be work. You want to be in a field where you're happy. So it's like you're getting paid to not work.
Mm. What are some of the big flags or no-nos you see people making on resumes when they're trying to get a new job or trying to get a promotion? What are some big kind of, okay, don't do this?
I would tell people not to create any kind of elaborate stories on their resume. Don't come up with alternative facts or fudging the truth at all. If you do not have experience in a field, if you don't have that certification or that degree, don't put it on there. I have had several clients that have submitted resumes to be rewritten, and they'll have indicated that they have a master's, or you know, that they've completed their doctorate or have an associate's, and they did one semester or they did two semesters, and then they've taken a, you know, 5 or 10 year hiatus. You putting that information on your resume does not tell the employer that it's not complete. It implies that it's complete because it's on there. And so I would tell anyone, don't create that web of false truths to get to the interview. Because once you get to the interview and the conversation is had, the one thing you don't want to do is be a letdown of, no, I haven't finished that. No, I can't do that. No, I don't have this. The interview should be selling what you do have and what you do bring to the table. The second biggest call out would definitely be the grammatical errors. Please watch your spelling. No one wants to walk around with the red pen, but if you're telling me you pay attention to detail and you have words that are misspelled, that's going to make me feel like it's a contradiction.
So do you get a lot of people who are looking for like promotions or looking for leadership roles? What are some common things that people come and get career counseling for?
My clients are coming in for promotions and new careers. And so I find that a lot of people don't choose the right career the first time around. They kind of just fell into it. And so they want to resurrect that second chance when they get to their 30s and 40s. And so you want to have like your encore career. And so you need to mesh and marry what you previously did into the world of what you want to do. And then the clients that are wanting promotions, we just have to make sure that you put yourself in the correct light for the experience and exposure that you have with that current employer. You can get a promotion and promote yourself from that current job to a new job. So I say most of my clients are promoters because they're either promoting with the same company or a new one. But we always want to make sure that we're getting an increase in either benefits or salary or better work-life balance. Whatever is important to that client is what we're trying to promote them to.
You brought up a really good point. Like you said, the encore career, people wanted to kind of make the change or the shift. What are some ways that people can make a transition like that kind of as smooth as possible?
First, I would tell you to take an assessment to figure out what type of careers you should be in so that you'll make a better choice the second or third time around. And then you want to find out and research that career. So for example, if you're a CNA, but you really want to be a physician's assistant, then you need to find out everything that is necessary in that career, what the education is, what the experience is. I would even suggest you calling some doctor's offices that says that they're hiring for that particular position and say, hey, if I got my degree from this college with this undergrad focus, would that make me marketable to you? Would you want to hire me? And they're going to say yes or no. The one thing you don't want to do is get a certification or a degree from one of the colleges, not to name drop and not to bash any for-profit college. But if you're spending money on an education, you want to make sure it's going to actually put you where you want to be. And so if employers don't respect the institution, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to respect the certification or degree. And then you still don't get what you really, truly wanted. And you end up in debt.
Okay. And when someone feels like they're ready to be promoted to the next level in their job, what are some things that they should be doing to make themselves look like a desirable candidate?
First, I would tell you to have a conversation with your immediate boss or whoever the department head is. Find out what they're looking for in the next step up or the job that you want. And those are the things that you place yourself in front of. Those are the things you target. Those are what you go after. So if they want someone, for example, in the call center that's able to take 50 calls an hour, you make sure you get to a minimum of 55 an hour. If they want someone that's never late to work, you make sure you're not late, rain, sleet, or snow. So you give them exactly what they want. So instead of you saying, hey, promote me, they're going to notice that you're doing exactly what they want, and they're going to come to you. The easiest way to get your promotion is when they see what you do right, and you don't have to tell them. Because then no one can say, oh, she's brown nose and she goes and tells everything. Nope, I just do my job, do what I'm supposed to do.
What are some ways people can come back from like being fired or terminated, being laid off and having a large gap in employment? What are some ways people with those type of circumstances can still move forward as far as when they're interviewing or being asked about those things? What are some ways that they can still progress their career forward?
For my Agape clients, I make sure I let them know not to use the words terminated or fired. Those are not positive words. They don't make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And so we explain it a different way so that it does not turn off the interviewer and make them question that person's value or the skills that they're speaking about in the interview. We also work on hiding those employment gaps by volunteerism. If you volunteer at your local soup kitchen, or if you're on the PTA, or if you're at the library, you need to put that on your resume because you're still working. Even though you're not being compensated financially, you're still earning work skills. You're still interacting with people. And so you don't want to lose that information. So I've almost never run into someone that has legitimate gaps on their resume. My biggest win was a housewife that had sat home for quite a few years, you know, being a at-home mom. And so she was trying to get back into the work industry and she felt like she didn't have any skills. And I said, you have tons of skills. You were the accountant, the chauffeur. You did all of these things under one hat and you were accounts receivable and payroll. And, you know, you did all these things. And she says, well, I never thought of it that way. I said, you have to think outside the box when you're trying to get back into the work industry.
Okay. So please tell the audience more about your services at your company and how they can get in contact with you to find out.
So the name of my company is Agape Career Counseling Group. And that's A-G-A-P-E, Agape. You can reach me at Agape, C as in cat, G as in goat.com. Or you can send me an email at Agape, C as in cat, G as in goat at yahoo.com. And as soon as I get your information, we start communicating and we go from there. The first step that I like to do is an informational session to figure out where you're at and where you want to go. Because if you don't really need much help, then you probably don't want to invest in, you know, the whole entire process. If you just have like one or two quick questions, the one thing I don't want to do is sell someone something that they don't need.
Okay.
So I always say that I approach every business interaction with ethics and integrity. So that's why I start with a conversation to see what you want and where you're trying to go, to see if you genuinely really need help or if you just need like a little drop of information.
Okay, that sounds great. Deborah, why don't you tell the audience, what is your daily mantra? What are one of the quotes or quotes that you live by on a day-to-day basis?
I would probably say the quote that I use the most is God's grace. By God's grace, let me make it through the day. God's grace, let me get through this. I would definitely say that. And I always remind myself that you can't control someone's actions. The only thing you can control is your reaction to their action. I love emotional intelligence. Because if you can control your emotions, you can think yourself out of any problem. You can avoid any kind of situation because you're going to understand that you need a filter and a speed bump.
Yes.
Those two things you cannot get rid of. And so when you have your filter and your speed bump, you're able to mitigate through some dangerous minefields.
And I think that is so important, especially when you're talking about career and trying to move up and just dealing with a variety of people and personalities. That is definitely some words of wisdom to live by. So Agape Career Counseling Group, definitely check them out. Definitely check out their services. It just sounds phenomenal. And it sounds like you really, really are prepping people to move to the next level.
That is so cool. Thank you.
Yes, so kudos to you. I love everything that you're doing. And I'm definitely going to be recommending a lot of people to you.
Thank you.
So yes, check you out. That is just awesome. So thank you again for your time, Deborah. And until next time, thank you for tuning in to the Early Accountability Podcast.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.